Amen. Good morning, Waterdam. It's good to be with all of you. I want you to ask you to pray for the Dashvi family. Linda passed away this week, and would like for everyone to know that she was cared about her church family. She was very appreciative of all the love and support that all of you reached out to them. We also want you to know that the viewing time is 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 today at the Coleman Taylor Funeral Home in Cecil, PA. Services will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the morning. So please, if you are able to get out to see Gene and support him, do so. Gene always asks me about how people are doing at the church. He'll ask me about people on the prayer list. And so they kind of followed track with that. And I had a great conversation with Linda before she died. I actually got to talk to her. She opened her eyes. She was resting. And I come in and I'm loud and talkative. And I said, "Hey, Linda, it's Pastor Jack." And she goes, "Oh." And like, you know, gave me one of those. And then she goes, "Pastor Jack, right?" And I said, "Yeah, and that's me." And but we got to talk about the future and that the hope of the gospel gives us, the hope of heaven, that God has stamped on the human heart, the hope of eternity. Every one of us have that hope. And for those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, Romans 8 says what? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the middle, though, of Romans 8, it talks about frustration. It talks about groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. And then it ends with a great promise of there will be no separation. No condemnation, no separation from the love of God. So let us take hope in that. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas is joyful because of Jesus. Lord, we pray as we think about our loved ones that they would have this hope in Christ. They would not merely be just around Christmas and taking part in the festivities and seeing the beautiful lights and caught up with all of the accoutrements without really knowing the message. Today we join with the shepherds in seeing Christ for the first time, and as they saw him, they started to share about him. And so they took the message back to everybody that they could find and tell. Lord, help us to do that with our own people that are in our lives as we go back to our fields where we practice and where we provide income for our families. And we'll be around dinner tables this Christmas season with family and friends that we know are not quite there yet. We pray that we would find some way and look for an opportunity for God, friend. Ask him to reveal to you when's the best time to share. Lord, help us people to see the joy of Christ in our hearts this year. Help us to teach people about the good news, about the great joy of Jesus. Help us to bring glad tidings of joy to all we meet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week, in the second week of Advent, we were talking about the powerful prophet Micah. And I love Micah as he introduces us to the prophecy of Jesus and the prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be a ruler from old, Ancient of Days, that he would be a shepherd. He would shepherd his people. And that we made the point of saying that in Psalm 23 that the shepherd makes us lie down and rest at times. And the sheep won't rest until they feel secure. But when we have the shepherd, friend, we can be secure. That the shepherd leads us through the shadows. And this is like 600 to 700 years, about 700 years prior to that. But the people were walking in darkness, we said. We talked about they were seeking things outside of God to find answers for the hopelessness that's in their hearts. And you hear Paul talking about where J.R. is at over in Canonsburg. If you read his prayer request this week, that he is at the armory there right beside the middle school. And the kids are finding hard to have hope in this time in their life because there's such disorientation. They're walking in darkness. And we made the point that people were seeking mediums back in the time of before Jesus and back in the time of Micah, the powerful prophet Micah. In Isaiah, and actually in chapter 8 in Isaiah, it talks about necromancers. And you see this referred to in films. I mentioned the Chronicles of Riddick, that they actually had necromancers in there. And I thought, that's a term I've heard before, and I actually read it in Isaiah. And here's the world kind of using the Bible's imagination and the language of the Bible to catch the attention of people. But we shouldn't seek outside of God hope. We should seek hope in Christ. As we look at this third week of Advent, we fast forward 700 years to the birth announcement of Jesus. This is amazing because the angels come to these lowly shepherds who are out in their fields in Bethlehem about a baby being born. Luke gives us three statements that I used for our sermon outline today. Great fear, number one. Number two, good news. And number three, great joy. Let's set the scene by beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, in the same region there were shepherds out in their fields keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds had to work that Christmas day too. You know, we have to work sometimes on Christmas. The shepherds were working that night. Why were they working? Well, they were tending their flock. They were out in the field where shepherds tend to be. And so it's no surprise, but I want you to notice the fact that they were in Bethlehem and they were outside of where the temple was, and there would be thousands of lambs seeking as far as being used for the temple sacrifices. And so they were part of the Christmas story, but they were kind of on the outside of the Christmas story. It supported their income. So we don't know for sure or not whether these guys were devout, but they were. It was like one of those Christmas shops you see where people have Christmas decorations, and you can go into these Christmas shops and you can buy all kinds of things, but right alongside the Christmas decorations is all kinds of New Age stuff, crystals and all kinds of chimes and things that you can reach out to the unknown into the dark world. And side by side, there it is. And I'm always fascinated by that. The reason why I think that the shepherds are so interesting is because they're one of the oldest professions in the world. Their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time, so they could not be made clean. And so we look at the story and we say, why the shepherds? Why would God take the biggest message of all when a royal baby, a royal king has been born, to these lowly shepherds? Announcements are a really big deal today. When a baby gets born, I mean, everybody's going to know it. And we're all very creative in the way that we reveal. They have the reveal. And I'm like, what in the world is a reveal? When we had a baby, we just told people, hey, we're having a baby. What's the big deal? So who God shares the birth of his son is these lowly shepherds, the last people on earth that you would think. They were the first people to hear about the birth of Christ. And usually that's for the family, right? I'm careful not to Facebook it when you guys have babies because they say, don't Facebook it because my family doesn't know yet. And so I'm careful. Luckily, I've not done that. I've been tempted. I think, oh, I got the picture right here. I could just, boom. Everybody would know. But the problem is the parents haven't been told. So it's always important to tell the right people. So why the shepherds? Well, number one, we need to understand they're not the privileged, but they are the poor. They're not the ruling class, but they're the outcast. They're not the priests or the Pharisees. They're the shepherds, you see. They're out in the fields, out of touch with what's going on, out of the mainstream. They're not in the stream. And this is who God brings the message to. And so we see how important it is for us to understand that the first Noel, the singing of the song, the first Noel, the angels did say, was certain poor shepherds in the fields they lay. Barclay writes this. He says, it's a lovely thought that the shepherds who looked after the temple lambs were the first to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who were the shepherds? And why did they deserve such privilege? Adam was charged to have dominion over the animals, and Abel is called the keeper of the sheep in Genesis 4:2. And throughout the biblical history, significant men were experienced shepherds. Jacob and his sons were shepherds. Moses, David was a shepherd. Matter of fact, David was a shepherd boy out into the fields, and God sent his prophet out to anoint the next king. And David was out in the field, a mere boy, taking care of the sheep in the mundane day of his life. And they walk out and say, this is the next king. And this is the city of David's going to be named after him. This is where David's going to come from. He's going to come from Bethlehem. But there's one coming that is a ruler from old, an ancient of days that's coming to this city. And so it's important that I think God is giving us the breadcrumbs, so to speak, that the bread of life, Jesus called himself the bread of life, was going to come from the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means. And most of us have heard that. Beit Halem. That's as much Hebrew as I can give you as far as the pronunciation in the English, the phonetic pronunciation. But Beit Halem, the house of bread. And that's where the bread of life comes from. And so God puts this here, this story is the very nature of the shepherd's work kept them from entering into this place, the temple, to observe all these religious things, but they were on the outskirts, caring for the sheep that would someday be used for the sacrifice. How fitting it is the first people to know, to find out about the Lamb of God, the lowly people. How do lowly shepherds respond seeing the angel of the Lord? Like all of us would. I mean, it's so interesting how we go and we look at people's trees and they say, look at my little angel there, isn't he cute? And it's like, really? I mean, if you saw an angel and the glory of the Lord shone around you, most of us would respond like the shepherds in great fear, right? We'd fall down in great fear. It says there, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with great fear. Fear versus faith. As we think about this picture, I always like to say, feed your faith, starve your doubt, right? And that's not mine, that's somebody else that said that. But feed your faith, starve your doubt. My daughter sent me a text yesterday and said that there was a girl that woke up screaming and crying that her father had died about 8 years ago. And she says, Dad, do you know any verses that you can encourage people with? It's not as simple as that, is it? Just to throw a verse. She misses her father. I want you to see something. You know, my dad talked about that he wished they would have bought the farm, my grandpa's farm. My mom grew up in that house. She goes, oh, no. My dad said, yeah, if we would have bought the farm, you could have had everybody home. And my mom knows that my dad can't fix hardly anything. And he certainly wouldn't have been able to do all the work. But I could hear in my dad's heart, he goes, you could come home, Jackie. That's what he calls me, Jackie. I'm Jackie Jr. over there, down there. And I would have loved that fact that if they would have bought the farm and everything. But I can't move down there. I've got responsibilities back here. And I'm here now. And I could hear my father's heart struggling with that. And I, as a dad who has now a daughter married and two kids at Grove City, I feel the father's heart that I want my family home. You understand that the father wants his family home. So he sent his son Jesus to go get his family. Fear is seemingly maybe not something we associate with the Christmas story, but it is certainly associated with the gospel. Listen to what Sinclair Ferguson writes. He said, there's nothing to fear. What the shepherds fear most, they don't need to fear. Often when people first hear the gospel, they too are afraid. But they get angry usually. So that's why it's kind of like on the surface, they're angry, they shove it away, they get mad. But underlying in most times when people are angry, the underlying emotion, friend, is fear or hurt. And they're afraid. Just look at the way people react to Jesus' name. I heard a very prominent broadcaster, they were talking about Christmas, and they always have to bring it up. They always have to be Scrooges. They say, well, the thing about the society, how the society, most millennials don't really pay attention to Christmas and this stuff. And yet they found some people who are happy about the holiday. But the announcer says, yeah, I don't really like... The thing I like about Christmas most is the fun and the gifts and all that stuff. She said, and the lights, and she was talking about it. She goes, it would be great if they could just remove religion. And the other person responded, and it
it just struck her, and she said, don't you understand that it's about Christ? It's about faith. It was such an ironic statement and such a great response, though, to the statement, that to see such a visceral reaction to it. Sinclair Ferguson says, ask, do people disguise their fear? They try to push it away in order to silence something deep down inside their conscience. And does the pressure of the name of Jesus provoke them to open the floodgates of antagonism in desperate self-defense? I love the part in verse 10 here. In verse 10 it says, and the angel said to them, fear not. Heaven's response to our fear is fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. Christmas is the good news. It's the gospel. It's the good news of the gospel. Even in the midst of death, people are afraid of the gospel. You know, we sing the first Noel, right? Oftentimes, it's interesting, when I was a young pastor, I got caught off guard by this, but I was asked to do a funeral, and this lady that always did it, she worked at the Methodist church across the way, and I was at the thing, and she said, what do you want to do, Pastor Jack? We'd always do an opening and a closing. I loved working with her, and the family comes running up to me, and they said, we got one song we'd like for you to hear, and it was it's the number one song that's requested at funerals. What do you think it is? Amazing Grace, wouldn't it be so sweet? No. Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then we'll follow it up. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He's not living now. And he may have did it his way, but he still didn't have an answer to this, right? And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I say it is clear. I'll state my case at which I'm certain. You'll state nothing. I lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more and much more than this. I did it my way. You see, that's why Jesus came, because we do it our way. And to follow it up, and the family said, well, do you want to hear Walked in the Garden, or Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow? I mean, yeah, that, you could throw that in there too. Because after all, we're like, we did it our way. We're proud, we're boisterous, but just in case that thing about Jesus is true, I want that in there too. And they get me to come and talk about Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you people. I want to talk to all of us here today. If we find ourselves as betweeners, like halfway between heaven and here, not fully believing. You see, Jesus wants us to know that we don't have to be afraid. Fear not, Jesus said. Fear not. Christmas is good news. Well, what's the good news? What's the good news of this birth announcement? Well, we learn in the birth announcement about the baby. And the baby is significant because of certain things about the baby that's significant. One, he's a Savior. That's in Luke verse 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel tells the shepherds about the baby born in a specific city, the city of David. And he's referring back to the city of David for a reason, because that's the line of Christ. And because that's where Micah said in chapter 5, verse 2, that this would be the city, O Bethlehem, little town of Bethlehem, the city of David. Out of you will come a ruler, an Ancient of Days. And that's good news, because what's he talking about, that this ruler's coming? He's a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Now, Jesus Christ, his last name is not Christ. That's his title. And so we need to understand that they're saying that the Messiah is coming, and he's God. And so, for unto you, he says to these lowly shepherds, to you the Savior is born, to all of us, not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile. So it is good news for all of us, in that God has sent his Son, his sacrificial lamb, his lamb that will take away the sins of the world, take away your sins and my sins. And he's offering him to us. It's an offer. The word saved comes out of Savior. It's a synonym for rescued. My friend, do you know you need rescued? You see, we all do. We're all falling short of the glory of God. And Jesus was sent to save you, to rescue you. It implies that there's some kind of threatening condition in your life. And it's called sin. And the wages of sin is death. There's some kind of dangerous condition, some kind of desperate condition, some kind of deadly condition from which you need to be rescued. And so the angels are announcing the Savior, who is Christ. Christ is not, is important, it's the Messiah. And he promises to rescue all who will believe and receive him. He rescues us from sin, from the power of sin, and from the penalty of sin. And one day he will rescue us from the presence of sin. We are sinners, and we know deep down we need a Savior. First came the angels to make. The first announcement came is that there's a Savior. Secondly, there's a sign. Now, a sign is important, right? When somebody has a baby, what do they put out in their front yard? A pink stork, usually, or something. A thing on their mailbox. It says, what does it say when a baby's born? What's that? It's a boy. It's a girl. It's declaring to the people that are driving by. They're proud. They're excited about it. And God says there'll be a sign for you. What's the sign? Well, it's a baby. Well, it's wrapped. Well, it's also swaddled in cloths, lying in a manger. And it's the sign is that this is the King of the world. This is the Savior. And he's in a lowly manger, a feeding trough. And God is saying, this is your sign. You're going to find this baby in the city of David. You're going to find the baby in the city of David. And he's swaddled. This is what the shepherds are told. That's how they're going to tell that he's a Savior. He's suited for shepherds. They may or may not have been puzzled by the Lord lying in a feeding trough, presumably in a cave where animals and all kinds of smells go along with that. What would be communicated to them and to us? The Lord has come to redeem the poorest of the poor. Christ has stooped low. He has come down to our level. That, friend, is good news for all of us. If he can save shepherds, then no one is beyond his ability to save. Christ has stooped low in order to raise them up to God in the highest. Author Charles Spurgeon writes, Christ is both infinite and infant, eternal and yet born of woman, supporting a universe and yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms, King of angels and yet the reputed son of Joseph, heir of all things and yet the carpenter's despised son. God says, fear not, I've got good news. The angels are proclaiming, we bring you good news, and that good news should bring you great joy. We should be joyful about Jesus. Why should we be? Because heaven celebrates. Heaven celebrates when Christ is born. Look at the one angel reported the news and proclaimed it to him, and then a whole army of angels, and they say, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among those whom he has pleased. Notice that there's an army of angels. An army usually does not announce peace. An army is there to take conquer and kill, usually. This army came to announce there is a peace that's been offered by the God of the universe to a people who are in trouble. They need to be rescued. We need to be rescued. Heaven celebrates when Christ is born. Heaven also celebrates when we are born again. When someone gets born again, there's a big party in heaven. It's good news when someone gets saved. We saw three baptisms last week. It's good news when somebody says and submits themselves to Christ. So we need to celebrate. And these angels are not half-hearted about it. They're not just going through the motion of devotion. They sang it with all their hearts. They're excited to tell the good news. And that the people are told, don't be afraid. We have good news of great joy. What's the great news? The great news is that there's a possibility of peace now with God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We became, we are no longer against God. We were not at peace with God. Do you understand before? God did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He gave his son so that we could have peace with God. We can't assume that everything's okie-dokie with God and do it our way. You do it your way, there is no promise of no condemnation. You do it your way, there is no promise of no separation. You see, what God is doing is offering us the good news. And he says, you don't need to be afraid of this message. It is good news. It's good news for all of us. You know, John 1:12 says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so we must trust this, friend. And Jesus is the promised seed. He's the promised seed that goes back to Genesis. That God's fulfilling his word. And it's God's story, and it began back in Genesis. And so as we come to Christmas, we have to be careful that we don't divorce it from back in Genesis. It is the meta-narrative, I don't know if that's the right word, meta-narrative, but the all-encompassing story of God, that God back a long time ago, when man fell, provided his son, and he was going to send him, and one day he was going to come, and Micah said, one day, 700 years was one day in the future that God would come, and then today, Christmas Day, is the reason why it's celebrated is because this is the promised seed. What can we learn from the shepherds? We're told that the good shepherd is a seeking shepherd sent by the Father to rescue and redeem and reconcile us. What we can learn from the shepherds is this. Faith is not just an intellectual assent. They don't just receive it. The shepherds respond to it. When we think about that, it's powerful to see these guys leave their fields and their sheep to go look for this baby. Now, there's a lot of babies born every day. You know what? If you go tell my grandpa, who was a farmer, to leave his stuff that he needed to take care of just to go see a baby, I have 100 cousins that are first cousins. There are 9 kids in their family. They're not going to go see every baby. They'll do the coochie-coochie-coo when the baby comes to them at the farm. And then when the kid gets old enough, he'll be out in the field taking in the hay. But these guys leave their fields. They go to Bethlehem and see this thing. I like how it says that. See this great big thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they respond. The shepherds respond. They go see it. They react to it. Let's go see it. Let's go to Bethlehem. Now, if we're honest, this is where it gets tough. The shepherds were the first to see Christ. They responded to Christmas by simply going and simply seeing it. And then after they saw him, they began to share and tell the story of God working in their life. And if we're honest at times, we worry about sharing the gospel of our story because we fear being seen like the shepherds, kind of uneducated, oh, you really believe that stuff? Yeah, if you call me up and you want to play I Did It My Way at my funerals, yeah, I guess you can play that, but I'm going to tell you why it's not good enough, that you need Jesus. Christmas tells us to fear not because there's good news of great joy. So not only do they respond, they start sharing what they saw. They began proclaiming the word. In verse 17, it says, when they saw it, they made known to the saying that had been told them concerning this child. I remember I was over here at the golf course at South Point. I got to golf over there because somebody gave me a ticket. And I got a ticket with some other guys. And we went over and we golfed. And when we were coming off of the 18th green, there's Sidney Crosby and all of the Penguins coming down to go golfing. Do you think I've told people about that? Oh, yeah. Hey, hey, we saw Sidney Crosby. We couldn't help ourselves. So Dan Emmett was there, and he introduced me to the Penguins. I don't know all the Penguins. And I said, tell me your names, because I'm not going to know who you are. Tell me your last name, because they were introducing themselves by their first names. And so we, of course you see, they saw Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and they went and saw it, and then they started telling people about it. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing. And then, look, let's go to the next verse. In verse 17, it actually says they saw it and they began sharing everything that they saw concerning the child. These humble shepherds. Alistair Begg says, part of the offense of the gospel is the concern of our peers in the business community, the scientific people, and our social world will consider us to be just like these shepherds. Paul says this, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being can boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In verse 18, it says, all who heard it wondered what the shepherds were talking about. In verse 19, it says, Mary pondered them. Pondering and praising God. Mary is pondering the word of God. The shepherds are returned praising God for all they heard and seen. Mary treasured up all these things. The shepherds returned, glorifying and worshiping God. It's always encouraging to see people pondering the gospel and worshiping God. And especially when people are worshiping and praising God and pondering God through sunshine and through shadow. May you know the one, the name of Christ, was given for you, was given so that you might have life and have it eternal. Let us return to our fields, pondering God's word and praising God for all that he has done through his son, Jesus Christ, this Christmas. Don't do it your way. Do it God's way. We have good news. We have good news to share. People don't need to be afraid. Fear not. We have good news of great joy and great comfort. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you now, as we return to our fields, pondering and praising God for all that you've given us, all that we've heard, all that we've seen, as we sing the words of this song, Lord, that we're singing truth to one another. We're recalling your truths and remembering your blessings that came through Jesus. That he came to save us from our sins. That he became poor so that we might become rich. That he came to die so that we might live. He was resurrected and now has ascended to the Father. And he prays for us. He intercedes on our behalf, and we are allowed to walk in the newness of life for those who have received the Holy Spirit, received faith, and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is no condemnation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rise and sing.